Philippians 4, starts in verse 4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I don't know about you, but there's times where I read the Bible and I see what it says and I go, that can't possibly be real. Have you ever read the Bible and you read something and it seems so audacious, so far out there that you're like, that really can't be true. I mean, reading there, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Not sometimes, not most of the time, always be full of joy in the Lord. Have you experienced in your lifetime that you may have had moments you were not always full of joy? Right? I mean, it could be like your team's playing Arkansas, 2-6 Arkansas at home. Just win the doggone game and go to a bowl game. And then you miss the field goal and you lose. And you're just a laughingstock of a football program. Okay, I don't always have joy, it feels like, but I have joy when they bring the steak out to the table. Praise God. There's joy. There's renewed strength. When Olive Garden shows up and they got endless breadsticks, I got always full of joy right there. But I'm not always full of joy. But the Bible looks at me and says, Philip, you can and should be, by the power of God, always full of joy. Man, so we've got to talk about that. Because if you're like me, maybe you're not always full of joy in the Lord. But Paul says that's available. And then we would push back, right? And we go, Paul, that's for you. You are some kind of special person with some kind of special powers of God. You can be always full of joy, but you don't mean that for me. Paul's writing Philippians chapter 4, if you want some context, in jail. In jail. And in case you're wondering, back in their day, it's not like the Marriott or anything like that. It's a Roman prison that is designed to break you. So he's writing this in the crummiest of circumstances and then has the audacity to write a letter to other people and says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always. And he gets to tell us that while he's sitting in prison, going through hardships, being persecuted for following Jesus, just going around and telling people they have hope in Jesus, and all of a sudden they throw him in prison. That's not very nice. That's not very nice. And the dude looks at us and says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I think that's still possible today by the power of God. So what do we do with the things that keep us from experiencing that kind of joy? What do we do with the things like greed that keep us from always being joyful because we feel like we always need a little bit more? What do we do with the things like lust that tell us we need something from somebody else? We deserve something from somebody else. What do we do with pride that makes us think we're better than other people? Like, what do we do with anger that kind of controls us, or bitterness? Or what do we do when we feel like people have hurt us or upset us? Like, how do we deal with the fact that all of those things exist? But Paul says, always be full of joy. And the reality is, Paul showing us through the scripture, we may in our physical circumstances go through difficult things, but we don't have to stay in spiritual prisons. We don't have to stay in spiritual prisons like greed and pride and lust and anger and bitterness and the idea that we're a victim. Paul says there's freedom from that. And not only freedom from that, but to always be full of joy. And he's going to walk us through how to have that, because you may have already realized 5 minutes into the sermon, oh no, oh no, you're already getting a little bit uncomfortable because you sense the Lord starting to move. And yeah, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Look what he says in the next verses. It says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, if you already had a problem with Paul saying, hey, you can always have joy, and you're like, I don't really like you saying things that feel unattainable to me, then he says something so audacious in the next verses. He says, don't worry about anything. Are you kidding me, bro? I'm still trying to work through verse 4, and then you're dropping verse 6 on me. He says, don't worry about anything. Does that sound easy? I don't know about you, but I've been honest about my struggle. I struggle with anxiety at times. I struggle in my past with depression. I'm back in my past before the Lord rescued me. I struggle with suicidal thoughts. And then Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Like it's possible. Because it is. And then, here's what he says. He gives us a two-step process. You can write this down in your notes. He gives us a two-step process on how to not be anxious or worry about anything. Two-step process. The first, he says, talk to God about everything. Pray about everything. Big stuff, small stuff, you go tell him point blank what's bothering you. What's causing you to be anxious? What's causing you to worry? He says right there, go talk to God about everything. That's step one. Step two, after you've laid it all out, you've just presented everything that's bothering you, everything that's got you upset, everything you feel like you're missing, you just lay it all before the Lord. Step two, be grateful. Be grateful. Tell God why you thank him for his love and his mercy and the things that he's got in your life. End of process. It's a two-step process. Incredibly simple. And the reality, though, is I want people need to understand where I'm coming from on a lot of things. I never, ever want it to sound easy to follow Jesus. I never, ever want it to sound easy to follow Jesus. I just want it to sound worth it because it is. Like, I think for far too long, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, let's have some clapping. Praise God, okay. I got like 17 people not asleep yet. Praise God, here we go. Because the reality is what happens sometimes in churches is like we feel like if we make it sound too difficult to follow Jesus, then people won't. Like we just need to kind of like lower the bar, make it sound easy. Jesus takes care of all our problems. We kind of water it all down. The problem with that is life will punch you in the face at some point. And then we go, well, I thought Jesus was supposed to take care of all my problems. I thought he was supposed to guard me with peace. Nothing bad was supposed to happen to me, and it is, so it must not work. The reality is, if you read scripture, following Jesus sometimes brings in even harder things into your life. But it's always worth it. You may see what Paul's saying. He says, don't be anxious about anything, and you're like, that's not easy. Then he gives you a two-step process. Tell God about everything. Pray about everything. Just pour your heart out to him. And then once you've done that, begin to be thankful for everything he's done. And then you can have peace that transcends all understanding. It's not going to make sense because the supernatural ways of God will not always fully make sense to us. I think some of us out there are trying to go, if I can fully just wrap my mind around God, then I'll follow him. The idea that you, as a human, created in the image of God, are going to fully wrap your mind around God, who was before you and will be after you and is eternal and was there when the world was started, you're going to fully wrap your mind around him. I'm here to tell you, not your best plan. Your best plan is to trust in a God that you won't be able to fully understand because he's God and you're not. We're not supposed to trust in our own ways. We're supposed to trust in his ways. And I don't want ever following Jesus to sound easy because I'm going to tell you it's not. But I want to compel you that following Jesus is worth it. That's the goal here. Following Jesus is worth it. But the reality is sometimes it sounds so simple, and it is. But then when we try to put it in practice, is it not hard? Like it sounds easy to follow these two steps, and then somebody wrongs you, and that anger builds. And now what are you supposed to do is follow some two-step process that sounds so simple, but that rage is starting to build in you, and you're like, I got to tell God about it. Then tell God about it. God, I'm really upset. I'm really bitter. I really feel like I'm missing out on something. I'm really upset. I need something else. That business deal, man, if I can just get that one business deal, I'm good. If I can just get that bigger house, I'm good. If I can just have that one person who's my spouse now in my life, then I'll be good. And I need, and I need, and I need. You can tell God that you need, but we're supposed to finish that prayer with, but I'm thankful. But I'm thankful. I may not have everything I thought I need, but I am thankful. And Paul says that two-step process takes us from a place of being anxious or worried or disappointed and brings us to a place where we have peace. Because the reality is a lot of us, whether you're a Christian or not, live in spiritual prisons we're not designed for. a lot of us live in spiritual prisons we're not designed for. And the reality is you live in a prison long enough and you think it's just always going to be that way. Like right now, you may be struggling with lust and you think that's how it's always going to be. This is just my lot in life. Like, I can't overcome that. The problem you're going to see if you read the New Testament is that's not your identity in Christ. Like, that anger you think is always going to be there. Like, I can't overcome this anger and bitterness. It's just going to own me. That's not your identity in Christ. That greed that you think, I got to have more. That pride, like, whatever it is, the spiritual prisons we live in, it's not our identity in Christ. Like, our identity in Christ is free. Our identity in Christ is life to the full. But we don't always experience that. So what's the disconnect? And man, if I can tell you, it's this. An inability to be grateful. An inability to be grateful will absolutely send us into spiritual prisons. An inability to be grateful. And you may push back and you go, Philip, I'm justified. I'm justified. If you knew what people had done to me, what people had said about me, if you knew how I had been treated, if you knew how God had let me out to dry, if you knew what I had missed out on, you would know I'm justified to feel the way I feel. And I want to tell you, my name's Philip and I love you, but I'm here to tell you something. A justified prison is still a prison. A justified prison is still a prison. And some of you guys out there, I just sensed it from the Lord this week. You are clinging to those prison bars, and you're like, they mistreated me. They left me out to dry. God didn't provide what I needed. Man, if you just knew how I'd been treated when I was younger, how I was wronged, you're clinging to the prison bars, and God is saying, you may feel justified, but my best for you is not the prison you're living in. The worst reality is when we see what Jesus has done on the cross. He paid for our sins, rose again 3 days later. And the key out of the prisons that so many of us find ourselves trapped in is being grateful. If you realize the work has already been done, many of us find ourselves in a prison cell that doesn't even have a door anymore. Many of us find ourselves in a prison cell that doesn't even have a door anymore. Because Jesus has already done the work for the freedom. The key for us to step in is I might feel anxious about the work that's going on. Maybe I feel anxious about my health. Maybe I feel anxious about my thoughts. Maybe I start to feel all this anxious, but then I tell God, hey, God, I'm really worried. I'm really struggling. I'm really wrestling with this. This is how I feel. This is why I feel what I feel. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to step in. I'm thankful for a wife who loves me, God. I'm thankful for the mercy and grace that you show me. I thank you. You didn't leave me where I'm at. I'm thankful for a church who loves and supports me. I'm thankful, God, for who you are. And I was in a prison of my anxiety, but now if I can just tell God and be honest, I can step into freedom. How? Grateful. Grateful. Some of you guys are 3 steps from freedom, but it's just being grateful to who God is and what he's done. But we want to cling to those prison walls, those prison bars, and say, I deserve to feel this way. The prison walls are not God's best for you, because what does he say after, don't be anxious about anything? He says, pray about everything. He says, be thankful to the Lord about what he's done. And then what happens? You'll experience peace. But watch what happens after that. It's not you'll just receive peace. You will have peace that guards you. The work that God wants to do in some of your lives today is to trade in the prison walls for walls of peace. The work God wants to do in some of your lives right now is to trade in those prison walls for walls of peace. But for us to experience that, what we have to do is learn to be grateful. And I'm gonna tell you guys, a victim mentality is not an identity in Christ. A victim mentality is not an identity in Christ. A victim mentality of, man, if this person really wronged me, he was horrific to me, I was mistreated, all these things, all of it's true. Some of you have been horrifically mistreated. Horrifically mistreated. But if you're not careful, you will let that define you and live in a prison of being a victim rather than being able to step in, pray about everything, tell God exactly how you feel, but then walk into freedom, walk into peace that always guards you through gratefulness to who God is. And the reason some of us can't walk out of those prison walls is because we struggle to be grateful to God because of we think he equates to the things we've been through. We equate some of the things that have really hurt us with God, and we can't step out of the prison because we don't want to trust him. But the freedom's there. The freedom is there. Like your anger, your lust, your pride, your greed, none of that has to own you. There's freedom in Christ. But it comes from a place of being willing to be grateful to who he is. Look what the next verses say. Verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then the God of peace will be with you. All these verses are just hard for me, if in case you're wondering. They're all hard for me. One of the hardest things for me is my thoughts. Like turning off these thoughts that just go a million miles an hour 24/7 is so hard for me. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you are blessed with like a mind that moves at like a broken go-kart speed. Like, praise God for your peace. That doesn't exist for me. You know, I got thoughts about our church and the things that are going on and the people I'm praying for and the people we're working with and the breakthroughs I want to see in your lives and just other things going on and on and on and on. But what happens is when I come home from work and I'm sitting there holding our baby daughter and I hear my wife say, like, where are you at? Where are you at? What do you mean, where am I at? I'm right here. She's like, but you're not here because I may be physically somewhere, but my thoughts have gone somewhere else. I brought all my work home. I realized I looked down and my daughter's just staring at me and I'm completely checked out. And maybe you realize you're different places, but where your mind has gone is not there. Worried about 5 other million things. That's hard. But Paul says if we want peace, we've got to learn to put into practice an ability to focus our mind on the things of God. Got to put it in practice. Every week I send out the sermon outline no later than Tuesday at 12 o'clock to our worship leaders and staff so that they can all start praying. They can all start preparing the worship sets. We work together. That's how that process goes. And this week I sent it out, and Kelly, one of our worship leaders under Hiawassee. Hiawassee, you guys have a great worship team. Love you guys. And she responded, that word practice. That word practice is really hard but so key. Because the reality is you and me, we don't always get this right. We don't always get it right. We may have done what Paul told us to. We may have prayed about the things and told God everything and then stepped into freedom and been guarded by peace. And then we find ourselves back in the prison. We stepped kind of back into it because we didn't fix our mind on those things continually. We let some of those other thoughts creep back in. And what do we need to do? We need to put it back into practice again. And some of you guys need to give yourself a little bit of grace that, heaven forbid, you've got to keep putting this into practice, that you didn't do it yesterday or the day before or this past year. But today, you can experience grace from Jesus and step into this and put this into practice and receive from the Lord. You can step out of prisons that you're in right now and experience peace. I've never met one person in my entire life that said, the idea that peace can change me and guard me, I'm guarded by peace. I've never met anybody that says, that sounds like a bad deal. Never met a single person that said, that sounds like a bad deal. I think deep down, every single one of us wants this. We want peace. We want peace that guards us. I think the hurdle is some of us don't want to let the things go that keep us from it. Because we believe our prison cells are our identity, and they're not. They're not. You think, well, you're just a pastor. I'm like, you must be new here. And just recently, we just had our baby girl about 2 months ago, and the week before her birth. Saturday morning, coming to set up here at the gym, go to turn on my car, and it just starts shaking, and the check engine light comes on. And in case you're wondering, there are things I'm good at in life. Mechanical stuff is not one of them. So I'm sitting in a car that's just shaking, and I've come to my conclusion, where my thoughts take me is, this is not good. And that's as far as my thoughts go. You may be sitting there, you are gifted, and you're like, I know what's wrong with your car, X, Y, Z. I have no idea. I just know it's supposed to go, not shake. That's my diagnostic at work there. That's a problem. So I'm thinking we're 1 week from our daughter's birth because we're going to be scheduled to go in and my wife's going to be induced and all this. Like, I know the birth is coming. And we're just a couple days away. It's Labor Day weekend, all these things going on. I don't need a car that's not working. What I need is a car that is working. That's what I'm looking for. So I call where I got my car from. It's fully under warranty. This is why warranties exist, right? To take care of things when they don't work. I call the company, say, hey, my car's shaking. It's not working. And they go, well, that doesn't sound good. I'm like, I got that far. I did not need your help with that, but thank you. I'm like, I'd like to bring it in. Can you just give me a loaner car? It's under warranty, and you guys just fix it. It's under warranty. And they're like, we have no loaner cars. And you can bring it in, and we'll can decide if something is wrong with it. And if something is wrong with it, then, you know, we'll take care of it and things. So I'm like sitting there as my car is just shaking. And now I'm starting to shake. Not because the car is shaking, but because my thoughts are no longer super kind. I'm like, no. You give me the loaner car, I give you the broken car, and then we trade back. That's how this process works. They're like, yeah, no, you can bring it in. We'll see. We'll figure it out next week. I'm like, the baby's coming next week. So what happens is I'm like, I'm tired of this. I'm not dealing with it. I'm trading my car, and I'm getting something else that works. I'll figure it out later. Great. But what begins to happen in my heart is I become bitter. Get bitter at how that situation was handled. Get bitter at that company. I start getting to the point where every time I get in the car, I'm just mad. I'm just mad. Frugal Phil doesn't like debt. Not happy about the situation. Frugal Phil worked in business. I despise poor customer service. I'm like, this was not a hard situation to handle. I start getting bitter every time I'm in the car. And the Lord speaks to my heart, and he goes, you seem really unthankful for a car that runs right now. I didn't need that right now, Lord. I needed to feel justified in my prison. He said, well, that prison is not my best for you. And so what I had to do to get out of that prison of bitterness is, one, leave that one-star review for that car company. No, that's a joke. What I had to do to get out of that prison was start to be thankful that I had a car that ran. Be thankful that I had a car that could transport my daughter back and forth to places she needed to go. Be thankful that I had a vehicle that just ran. That's what I had to do to shift something in my heart. It doesn't change how the situation was handled or anything like that. It changes what's in my heart and mind. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul's writing the letter in prison. He's still in prison when he finishes the letter. But what changed about Paul was his heart and his mind. And some of us are trapped in spiritual prisons right now because we can't tell God about it and then shift into being grateful. But that's what changes our hearts and our minds. I mean, last week we had pastor appreciation. You know how thankful I am to have gotten cards and letters and encouraging notes from all of you guys? Like, there's no other place I want to be besides here with you guys. No other place. You guys are amazing. You're incredible. I get to work with an amazing staff. I mean, yesterday I got to watch Pastor Chris lead an amazing workday. Like, we had like 30, 40 people out of the new building working, doing incredible work. Like, I work with an amazing staff. They did such a good job. Hiawassee just had workdays, or maybe they did, I don't know. Hiawassee looking around like, Pastor Phil, they may have had a workday yesterday. Hiawassee, I love you guys. If not, shameless plug to go help John and Courtney with a workday that'll be coming up then. I'm super thankful and grateful. Like, I get to be part of something that's so amazing, so much bigger than myself. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else. I'm thankful. But man, when things happen in my life and I don't keep that posture, that's where spiritual prisons start to build. And as we go through it, like, it wasn't hard for you to figure out as the Lord started to speak to you, you're in a spiritual prison about something. The Lord started speaking to you right now, and you're like, you know, greed's been just controlling your heart. Our lust has just been controlling your heart. Our anger and bitterness has just been controlling your heart. Gossip's been controlling your heart. That's a spiritual prison. And God offers spiritual peace. Right now, if you know you're not experiencing spiritual peace, it's a great way to know you're in a spiritual prison. So as we look to close out, I want to ask, do you need to take two steps today? Do you need to begin to tell God about everything? Tell him why you feel what you feel, what you went through. Just lay it all out before him. And then take the second step, the one that sets us free. Start being thankful to the Lord. Those are the two steps that we've got to take as people if we ever want to step out of the spiritual prisons we find ourselves in. So I just want to close out in prayer. I want to close out in prayer because there really is no hope for us as humans to get out of spiritual prisons without Jesus. There's really no hope to do that. But thankfully, because of Jesus, the prison doors are already open right now. You don't have to stay there. And you may be wrestling with lust or pride or greed, and you're like, Philip, I already tried all this Jesus things. It didn't work. I'm still trapped. I want to encourage you with what Paul said. First, just tell the Lord about everything. Tell the Lord why you feel what you feel, why you think this is going on, how he may have left you. Just tell the Lord. Be honest with him in your prayers. And then the second thing you've got to do if you want freedom, if you want peace that guards you, that transcends all understanding, if you want that kind of peace, you're going to have to be grateful. You're going to have to be able to go, I may have spent years in a spiritual prison. I may have felt I was justified to feel the way that I feel, to think the way that I think. But if you cannot find a way to be grateful that the Lord has shown you mercy and grace and love and has not given up on you, you will find yourself in prison. But today is your day. Right there in your seat, you can say, Jesus, thank you for your love and grace that has not given up on me. Our relationship hasn't always been right or wrong or good or ups or downs. But Jesus, I'm grateful for who you are and what you've done. I'm grateful for your love and mercy that has not given up on me. I am grateful, Lord, that you have pursued me even when I did not pursue you. And Jesus, I want peace. I want peace that transcends understanding. I want peace that guards me on all sides. I want freedom found in Jesus rather than a spiritual prison. And I want to ask, whether you're in Hiawassee or here, I want to know who I'm praying for, because this isn't easy. This isn't easy. I want to know who I'm praying for, and so we're just going to do this real quick. If I'm praying for you, if you know you're wrestling, you know you're struggling right now, you've been in a spiritual prison, but you say, Pastor Phil, will you pray for me that I step into the peace that God offers me? The love that he offers me, the freedom that he offers me. If that's you, just raise your hand and put it back down. Amen. 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 And I tell you what, it never gets old seeing God move. I'm so proud of you for raising your hand. Because what that says is you don't want to stay where you're at. I'm so excited for you. I'm proud of you. And now, I'm going to get out of the way and let God do what only God can do. And so, Lord, I pray right now for those who raise their hands in Hiawassee or online or here in the building. I pray in the name of Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, my Rescuer, that you will pour out your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, give them boldness and courage to tell you, Lord, everything that's going on in their heart and their mind, and then be able to shift by the power of Holy Spirit to find gratefulness in their hearts and their minds for the things that you have done and will do in their life. It may be one thing. They may be clean. to just one thing that they can muster to be grateful for. I pray, God, that you will bless that. Pour out freedom and peace upon them. God, I pray that through your supernatural power, people will start to experience prison walls breaking, freedom being found, and peace guarding them on all sides, working in their minds and their hearts, transcending their understanding. They may go, God, I can't believe what I'm experiencing right now. I don't even understand what I'm experiencing right now. I just know it's of you, God. So won't you pour out your spirit, draw us closer to you, Lord. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, you've always thought about it, you've pondered it, but you know today, you're being called out of that spiritual prison into a relationship with Jesus right now. You know, if that's you, just raise your hand and put it back down. Raise your hand and put it back down. It may be in Hiawassee, maybe online, but I want to give you that opportunity to step into that relationship with Jesus today. Is that anybody here? You put your hand up and put it back down. Amen. I want to ask the prayer team in Hiawassee, will you please step off to the side? Be available. Prayer team here in the building, will you step off to the side? I want to give you an opportunity because as church, you should not follow Jesus on your own. You should be around people who encourage you, support you, love you. And I want to invite you, if that's you, these are people we care about, we trust here. And if you would like someone just to pray with you and encourage you as you step out, maybe you're praying for someone you love and care about and you know they're trapped in a spiritual prison. Come to our prayer team and say, will you please pray with me? I'm praying freedom for this person. We'll pray with you. But this time, it's for the Lord. Let's put our attention and fix our thoughts on what's true and pure and admirable, and that is the Lord. You can stay seated, you can stand up, but let's close out in worship today.